Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. I'm going to start off today's program with a song, If You Can Dream, by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream. Till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
Greetings and welcome back to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on the Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project continues with Champion of Olympus Astrid, and the Sussex Report joins our community wellness lineup. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. Well, taken a little surprised by the snow today after seeing ground for a few days.
Yes. It was shorts weather for a couple of days, too. It was really warm.
Well, it's reminding us that spring does not occur in Sussex County until later. And there are few areas in New Jersey that have been experiencing wonderful weather. And I remember when I was teaching down in Passaic, and I would mention that the snow was horrific and we were having snow, and they would look at me like, what snow? Higher up north, higher elevation, 10 degrees difference. And even here within the county, some of us forget, we'll just punch in Sussex County for the detailed weather. And guess what? Each area is different. There's a mountain area in Sparta, which higher elevation, they get more snow. Everyone knows on Route 15, that one area where it gets very tricky in Sparta. And once you get into the mountainous areas away from 206, like Branchville, it's very nice and even and level land. Nothing like maybe a few miles away where it's highly mountainous. And I sent a few pictures to friends up in this county, and they were shocked they were shocked to see the amount of snow. But, you know, it's all relative. It's where you are. And it's best to get an app that's geared for not just for the zip code, but you're zooming in on a specific area, you know, whether it be the Kittatinny Mountain Range or Branchville, because using the zip code 07860, which covers Newton basically, but that's our mailing address, when you use that, Newton is way different than other areas of Sussex County. So, yes, and now they're calling for another one on Saturday. They're saying it has the potential. So, yeah, every day is a new adventure with the weather.
Yes,
you just don't know. We would wish for it to be spring, but don't put away your shovels or your shoes that have the boots with the grippers on them, you know, that you can actually place onto your boots, because it seems to be that we've had more of a wintry mix this year in Sussex County than any other year, you know, which of course overnight and the wee hours of the morning when it gets very cold turns to ice.
I'm not
going through my bins for spring yet. No way.
But it's very beautiful out there, the nature and the hills and the mountains and the trees and the bodies of water. We love when we go out that way.
It definitely is pretty. In any season, you know, there is a beauty to it. And this is the month when we honor women. Not that we should only have a month to do it, but it's when we take the time to put that emphasis right up there with the news, so that it's a time when they can set aside to educate people of all the different accomplishments and the things that we should be doing politically, law-wise, getting involved with legislature, and different facts related to women and their history. And at this point, I'd like to take the time to honor somebody who is amazing, and that is Julia Quinlan, who started the Karen Ann Quinlan Charitable Foundation. She celebrated her 95th birthday on February 23rd. That's amazing. And she opened hospice in 1980 in her daughter's memory, and dedicated herself to ensuring dignified, comforting care for terminally ill patients and their families. So there was a fundraiser in her honor, and all the funds went directly to benefit the Hospice Endowment Fund. And it basically started with $100,000 in seed money from Lakeland Bank that was matched by organizational and community funding. So that's wonderful. Their goal was to achieve an endowment of $1 million to be permanently restricted to providing care. And they have several care homes now. You know, it's amazing how it's grown, really has. And she's quite a few awards she's received for on a local level, a state level, and nationally, just about the fact that she has centered ethics with the ending of life and the importance of the Quinlan Landmark decision, because as some can remember, her daughter was a long time connected onto a machine in order to live. You know, it was horrible. It was really a horrible thing to have to go through. But her hard work and tireless work, and her late husband's, and her son as well, and many volunteers that are involved, because it's a volunteer basis program that they have there, they've worked for so long and so hard to change the way the laws are on the books for people that have no hope, you know, for living, and also the financial aspects of caring for people and programs for those that are left behind. Really, really great program. So proud to be involved with that organization, even though I don't do much. You know, I try and keep in touch with Jennifer, who's excellent, who runs events, and, you know, I make my donations, but I really think about would be a great thing to do in terms of volunteering. And they do have a volunteering program that's set up if anybody's interested. And they're very, really great with working with everybody with that. You know, it's involved. It's an involved process. And speaking about that, thinking about how it's Women's Month, acknowledging women, let's talk a little bit about health and screening at every decade, because it's amazing how our health changes with each decade, and in our youth, you know, our teens and then getting into our early 20s, we never think, you know, we see our relatives going through different health issues, and we never think there's going to be a time when it's going to come forward for us. But the best thing to do is to really get involved with learning your family medical history and different pre-existing conditions, because there are so many different aspects on both sides of the family, or as many sides of a family as people can have, because we do have multiple families now with stepchildren and this and that. So we have to be on top of knowing, you know, the different genetics and health issues. For instance, there was a point in my family's history where a cousin in his 40s died of a blood clot. It was just so shocking. It was shocking, you know, at that age. But his wife was really brilliant, did research and looked into it, and found out there was something called Leiden factor 5 in certain ancestral backgrounds. And it's basically, you know, Polish descent have this. And she brought it up to every single cousin and all the relatives, and some just brushed it aside. Oh, if I have it, I have it. But as I started looking at the family tree, I noticed quite a few of our uncles had problems with blood clots. So I talked to my doctor about it and said that I wanted to be screened for it, and I was. And I do not have it, which is a good thing, but it's good to know if you have certain things.
Right.
Two cousins were tested, and this is the wild aspect of it. One sibling in a family had it, and it affected different operations she had, and another sibling had no aspect of it. So, you know, it's something that's really important to look into, and I'm very grateful that I had a cousin-in-law, as I will call her, who made the effort to do the research to look into this problem. So it's good to know. But in the 20s, it's recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that Pap tests begin in the 20s. It doesn't matter if you're sexually active or not, but because the exams look at precancers or changes in the cells of the cervix. And again, then your GYN should be checking and looking at your history and keeping a record of different changes that are noticed. There's specific problems, you know, with anemia. Some people have really bizarre menstrual cycles, and fibroids are more common in African Americans than Caucasians. So these are type of things that you have to, you know, should be looking into, they say, when you're in your 20s. Some doctors recommend getting the HPV vaccine, and that's something you need to talk to your health care provider about. And some are funny about vaccines. Some feel it's necessary. Some feel, well, they'd really rather not take the chance. That's an individual choice that a person has with their doctor. In the 30s, there's mention of family medical history counseling to start looking at the history, and particularly conditions such as cancers, heart disease, which are the major causes of death in women.
Wow.
So it's important to start looking back and, you know, vertically and horizontally at your family tree. And again, I was something like blood clots, which affects all your operations. You know, these are important factors. You know, it doesn't matter male or female. And they suggest the OBGYN, American College, recommends that in the 40s, women start getting mammograms. And that's for people of average risk. Then you have to look at the fact of whether or not if you have a high risk factor for a family history of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, or other type of inherited cancers. You can get a BRCA test, which I had a test because it's very prevalent in our family history. Almost every single cousin and all my aunts had passed from, and my mom had passed from breast cancer. So I did get the BRCA test, and I fortunately do not have that gene. So it doesn't mean you can't get it, but it's nice to know that you don't have that inherited gene
right.
for that. And I know the colon cancer screenings start around 45, and the task force released new guidance for that screening because that is on the rise. So that's something, again, if you have a family history of it, you have to look into that. If you have a family history of colitis or types of GI disease, that you may get recommended to have the test even earlier. And they do have the regular screening. They also have something called a Cologuard, where it's just a sample and it goes out and they can actually detect if there's any cancer cells. And so that's interesting. And they also start talking about if you're doing exercising to start focusing on weight-bearing exercises, of course, because they're looking at your bones. And these are things that you can do to strengthen your bones, and that you start looking at that decade. In the 50s, lung cancer screening. And they say it's lung cancer in non-smokers more common in women. And why? I don't know. It could be attributed to toxins, the environmental exposures, and genetic factors. Another thing is cleaning products. You know, women using a multitude of cleaning products, and we're not wearing masks when we do it. You may be wearing gloves, but you're breathing. Some of these
right.
chemicals are highly toxic, and you're breathing them in. So I would bet that that has a major influence on the rise with women. And, of course, you know, we start looking in our 50s at menopause treatment and relief. Usually occurs in the 50s, but it's an individual experience. And there's a lot of variability with that. Some people, you know, they look at the amount of pregnancies, your body mass, your physical activity. But again, it is, and it's defined at 12 months without having a menstruation. Some people, it's good to track it. You know, your hot flashes and all these different dysfunctions and moods. Some people have no problem. Other people, they talk about it as a living hell. And being perimenopausal, the stage leading up to it, it's like 5 years. It just doesn't go away. That was a shock for me because nobody really educates you about
no.
the symptoms beforehand and or what relief there is for you. And, you know, I personally, it might be too much information, but I personally, if you have back memories of my very beginning of entering into womanhood, as they say, where I had a lot of pain and it was horrific. And then it regulated itself. Well, it's the same when you're winding down because your hormones now mm-hmm. are fluctuating every day. So, you know, it's always a new experience with that. And it's something where there really needs to be more information for women. Definitely more information.
Here with the women's information, it applies to a lot of areas in our life, like even financial education and
there's
a lot of areas where despite how good our schooling may be in many ways, it really does not prepare most people to deal with life as it's lived.
No, you are right. Life skills. In the 60s, we're talking
right.
about bone density scans. They're looking at different things. Okay, you're going to be scanned. How about starting to talk about it beforehand, what you can
right.
do? You know, to prevent these problems. And, of course, in the 60s, they talk about hearing and vision screening. Also, the vitamins you take. We've mentioned this before on your program, Hercules, about having blood tests done. And it's great if you have access to your own portals, patient portals, because you can look at every single blood test. And
mm-hmm.
then you can actually go online and you can see what the recommended levels are for you in certain decades or periods of your life, because
right.
it fluctuates according to male or female and upon the decade. And I was shocked to find out that after 60, all kinds of bizarre things happen to you, such as vitamin B12 deficiency. Mm-hmm. And in one hand, you're being told, you know, watch your cholesterol and don't eat a lot of meat, you know, particularly red meat. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're showing up with this deficiency and they're telling you, you need to have more red meat. And what it is sometimes is not what you're eating, but the fact that your body is not absorbing the nutrients at the same level anymore. And mm-hmm. I had to go for a short period of time to get these shots. Of course, I looked into my family history, and there was a deficiency there, but I never had a problem before. And then a doctor in the office said, oh, I have to do the same thing. And it seems to be that after 60, a lot of folks, not just women, but a lot of folks exhibit B12 deficiencies. So it's good to get, people say, well, why do I need all these blood tests for? Why? Because particularly with certain decades, there are certain things that are very important. Yeah, and you have to watch your iron and your, and B12 is important in terms of the oxygen level in your blood. Something I didn't know until I did some research, why I was so exhausted. Well, it's all related to the oxygen within your blood, your red blood cells. So, shocking. And going back to what you just said, you're right. There is very little emphasis on life skills. Everything is, you know, like the reading and writing and science and raising your scores and things like that. But there was a time when there was more application.
Right.
Across the board for everyone. You know, there was a one school system, I'm not going to name it, you know, where the mission was to have every child go to college and get a degree. That doesn't work for everyone. And
right.
to put that premise in their mind, if someone loves, you know, doing electrical work or landscaping, and you're telling them, putting that idea in their mind that only college, you know, say the word schooling and preparation for a particular profession is better than saying, well, you really need to go to college for 4 years. There is no emphasis even with career awareness in terms of the different availabilities that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. And as you say, finances. We're never told. You know, it's always about, oh, watch how you take care of your allowance when you're in school. Fine. But a financial advisor isn't for everyone. It may work in some situations. I know quite a few people that have them, but it has to be a really good one. And it has to be one that's working with you during your different facets of your life. And I remember going to a workshop with a firm that I had used when I was much, much younger. You know, I used to do my taxes with them. But I went to a workshop, and it was so interesting because they analyzed where money went according to the baby boomers with each decade. You know, where they were when they were, what they were investing in terms of when they were trying to buy a house, when they had kids. Then looking at eras, the 50s, the 60s, you know, it was amazing, the 70s, where the money was going in terms of consumer products.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 50s, it was plastics. And I thought that was so interesting because they said because it made women's lives easier when they started to go into the workforce. And then it really took off, you know, in the 60s, and then you started talking about, you remember the commercials for the TV dinners
right.
and this and that, and it was to make women's lives easier. So, yeah, it's interesting the, you know, ebb and flow that we need to know during the different eras as we're seeing now. You know, it's no more the land of plenty, and it's definitely not the boomer years when we were growing up,
right.
and also the decades of your life. You know, where are you? Where are you putting your emphasis? You know, yeah, your family, but then when you're an empty nester, what are you looking for? You know, what is best for you? And even in terms of retirement, you have so many, oh, I'm going to go down south, the taxes are cheaper. Okay. Or maybe the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, and I don't want to shovel snow, All right, fine. But what about the utilities and the commodities that you need as you age? That is a big issue. And people also saw that with the onset of COVID. And as COVID really started to manifest itself, there were some states that had minimal hospitals. And they were small hospitals and did not have the capacity to deal with large numbers of people. Whereas, like, say, you know, the East Coast, the West Coast, certain states, you know, that are very populated. And just looking at New Jersey, I mean, New Jersey has one of the best hospitals going in Morristown. And there are others that are just as good and definitely superior to some of the hospitals in some of these other states. And these are the things we don't think about. You know, when people are buying their home, they're thinking about, well, what's my commute to work? Well, let's hope your job stays the same, first of all. And is there a good school system? But the same thing has to take place as you age in terms of what are you going to need? What about transportation? The situation that I mentioned a few months back with a poor woman being burned in her house and no one knew how to contact her relative. No one knew anything. And no way to even, you know, do any investigation. You know, I was lucky enough to have a few neighbors that were amazing and tracked down information and found out where she worked and, you know, went through a whole timeline for her. But these are things that are very far away from us because we're living in the now and we all think that we have forever rather than looking at the point when I could be hit by a car. Do I have my papers in hand? Do I have access? Is there anyone that will know what to do for me if I'm living alone?
Right.
And it's usually elder females that are in that situation. And I'm going to just make a connection here with the Karen Ann Quinlan Hospice Organization.
Okay.
They are starting their paper shredding, by the way. Their event starts this Saturday. Let's hope we don't have another snow event. And $6 a bag, paper shredding, and the money is donated by the corporation that does it so that they can add it to their coffers to help others. And that is starts this Saturday, 9 to 12. But on the 18th of April, they are having a Five Wishes workshop. And you can go to their event page. It's one thing about Karen Ann Quinlan Hospice.org that's phenomenal. You can find anything on that page. You know, getting help for yourself, volunteering, getting information, their events. And this Five Wishes workshop is a Zoom presentation. It is a living will informative workshop. It's called Advanced Directive Workshop.
Yes.
Just so you know, it's a living will. And according to resources done, only 20 to 30% of Americans have completed one. So this event, you can go to their page and you can register. They have a Zoom ID and a password. And you register so you can also obtain a free workbook that will be mailed to you ahead of time, which is a really good thing. And this is something to think about because many people have no knowledge of what they're going to do. Some people have the knowledge, but they have never sat down with those that are going to be left with the duty of taking care of this. So they go through every aspect of it, sitting down, discussing with your family. It's not an easy one because people usually they shudder and they'll say, I really don't want to hear about this now. But if they don't want to hear about it, then maybe just have it all written, put it in a folder and tell them this is what you need, you know, should I have this particular problem. And I have a friend of mine who called me the other night that's going through a dilemma. I mean, he was shocked. He was not prepared for it. He is the executor of his father's will, but his living companion has the medical power of attorney. So all of a sudden, this gentleman who is exhibiting some symptoms of dementia, is now all of a sudden leaping into it full time, and it's in the evening. It's in the
right.
evening when it's occurring. Violent, and of course, the companion reached out to this gentleman's son, and he's totally befuddled. He doesn't even know where to begin. And I connected him to a friend of mine named Irene, and she may be listening, and unbelievable wealth of information, because she went through an unbelievable process with her mom, having to get her from Florida, move her up, you know, sell the home, find a place for her, and then as it's, all these symptoms started exhibiting, had to go through all the stages and the processes involved. Amazing amount of research and resources, and I referred him to her. But these are another thing that we don't think about, because right away it's like, how am I going to deal with this? Well, you better think about a geriatric lawyer, one that deals with elder care, and you better, if there's an event like this and if they're being placed in a hospital, there is social services within the hospital, and there's Alzheimer's groups that are amazing that offer support. That's just a couple suggestions she made. But, you know, as I saw her go through all this, I was amazed the amount of work and research involved.
And
so,
like you said before, and like we brought up, again, we're not, this is something that happens to everybody, almost everybody at that stage of the game if they live that long. And we're not prepared for it. We had a similar situation where we had a family member, pretty much, again, until we figured out what was going on and we linked up with the proper support, it was very nightmarish because we had no idea what to expect. We had no idea what to do.
Right.
And again, it makes you wonder, why aren't we more knowledgeable about this? Why aren't we prepared for this? If it's normal and natural and it happens to everybody, why is it so taboo to talk about it?
Exactly. And the other thing bringing this up, which is really interesting, is, you know, now he's thinking about, can you get in-home care? Well, it depends on what insurance you have. If it covers it, how much of a time does it happen? Or, you know, are you going to be using public funds or private funds? And this is why these things are important, because they're all different. And the size of the place. I mean, you may look at all these different places, and it's not an easy process. And I've had friends that had to move. They're elderly women with severe dementia, had to move them several times because the care wasn't what it should be.
Right.
And that's not an easy thing, you know, trying to match the care. And as we know, with all the history, I don't know if I could find my notes here because I have so many different notes here, but nursing care is really such an issue, you know, and it came, you and I have talked about this many times previously.
Yeah.
On air about the cost, like $8,000 to $12,000 a month for what, you know? And then we had COVID, and all of this came out. And there were places, you know, the Woodland Behavioral and Nursing Center, the Limecrest Subacute and Rehabilitation Center. Notice they have new names. What are these places? These are the Andover Subacute and Rehab 1 and 2, where those horrific deaths took place from COVID. And they still have very high rates of COVID cases. In the paper in the Township Journal, they have the records. And from, it says here, the COVID-19 cases associated with long-term care outbreaks as of February 16th, these are not the ones that happened before. And confirmed cases among residences, 250. Confirmed cases among staff, 145. Confirmed deaths among residences with COVID, 16. Believe me, those are way higher than the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other nursing homes within this county. And of course there was a big study, and Gottheimer was involved, you know, with the study and getting the troopers to find out why, you know, these relatives were not allowed to talk or even know anything going on in there. And of course, then there was the infamous situation that everybody knew about, and with the one outbuilding that had bodies just piled, you know, and horrifying, horrifying. And they did get the aid cut off, Medicaid funding. And they're looking at changing things, allowing nursing homes to improve before the most severe restrictions are imposed. And they're at that point with this formerly subacute. I will not use the other names. And, okay. You know, it says here, New Jersey's 15 one-star nursing homes provide services to approximately 1,850 Medicaid beneficiaries. And Medicaid annually pays these facilities an average of $103 million. This is the state, not the country.
Wow.
Medicaid. And, of course, in order to receive Medicaid, you have to have no assets. Because if you're going to Medicare, which is your, you know, your regular care, and if you are going to a private place, the funding comes from you and your assets. And these are things you have to look into before it happens.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure that's, you know, it's many people that people save their whole lives and all of a sudden they're finding out they have to turn over their money and the home and the sale of the home to these places, to these nursing homes. So, yeah, it's a little frightening. And, that's one thing that was a positive factor. If there was any positive factors of COVID, it was to teach people what's going on really and to pay attention to the individuals in our lives and do the research, learn to be more self-sufficient, and mm-hmm. also to care more about others, definitely to care more about others, because what a swing of the pendulum for businesses.
Right.
And in terms of worker rights, worker rights. Amazing, huh?
It seems like, again, we're slip-sliding backwards with a lot of things. I remember growing up, and I'm in my 60s now, growing up there was a feeling of optimism how despite the many
right.
horrible things that had happened in our history, we'd moved past them, we've outgrown them, we fixed things. And it's becoming increasingly clear as the new millennium has dawned that no, we really haven't.
Right.
And again,
I still have to pass things on to you of the different events that we talked about before in terms of, you know, empowerment, in terms of, like, you know, we talked about budgeting last time, and we mentioned we mentioned different kinds of organizations that you can get involved with. We mentioned, you know, the food banks. We mentioned time banks. There were so many different things out there. And then we also mentioned places you can go to that didn't have, you know, that there isn't a problem with food in terms of accessing the food because so many places are closed and you can't, or they have minimal food. You go one day and they have something, you go the next day. No, it's not just pet food that's the problem. You know,
right.
It's a multitude of different things. They're saying now milk and bread will be affected because a lot of the wheat comes from the Ukraine. So here we go again about being, you know, so interdependent. And I remember the reading once, oh, way back, about how we weren't going to, the government was paying people, not to farmers, not to grow corn or wheat, because it was
right.
cheaper to go to these other countries and pay for it. And it just blew me away. And there has to be more bringing bad things back home and getting away from that concept that has been so prevalent for how many decades that we don't want to pay the workers. And if we can get it cheaper, that means profits go up and the businesses, you know, get very inflated and then the stocks are better. Well, let's start getting back to being humanist and having a humane attitude. It's not only
right.
about money, because you could have a lot of money, but you could also die from COVID and your
right.
business can go down the tubes, as people found out. You know, it's the way it is. So I will give you all of those different places that we mentioned last time that I just didn't get to, but it is that important. I will give it to you. And one was like certain places where you can get food and the time bank for bartering. And also we had one or two places, and again, I'm not plugging them in terms of, free advertisement, but Hayek's is a small store in Newton that has their own butchers, and never have there ever been any shortages of meat there. And they get milk from the farms, the dairy farms up here, and produce from them as well. Green Life Market is all organic in Andover, and they have organic things, and they buy from the farms directly. So it's amazing. You know, there are places right here that we can depend on.
Did you ever hear Freecycle?
No. What's that about?
Freecycle is something that you can access through, like, whether you're on Facebook or Yahoo groups or, you know, whatever. I don't even know if Yahoo still exists. But anyway, online, every community has one where if you're looking for it, you can ask if anybody wants to get rid of it. To give it to you.
Oh, wow.
There's no money being exchanged. Or if you have something you want to get rid of, you offer it to people in the free cycle. So this is, instead of throwing it out or dropping it in a charity bin, like for Salvation Army or for Goodwill or something, we lived in Pennsylvania, in the mountains, in the Poconos, we made lots of use of free cycle. I love to exercise, and when we were in Pennsylvania, I had bench press machines, I had leg press machines, I had universal machines. Most of them I got for free on Freecycle, because people get exercise equipment and then they don't use it, and then they put the clothes dry on it and it collects dust, so they want to get rid of it. So people always get rid of the stuff, and you get it for free. You have to pick it up. And we got rid of a lot of stuff that we no longer wanted. And, people needed chairs or pieces of furniture or books or whatever we were getting rid of. We'd offer them Freecycle, and somebody wanted it, and we'd agree to meet someplace, usually in the Walmart parking lot or in the middle of the nearby towns, and just exchange the item. And those still exist. Even here in Tenafly, there's a Freecycle.
These are the things that people need to have access to and know.
Right.
And again, it's communication, brainstorming and putting that information out there. But that's fantastic. Just like the time bank was just bartering for services. Wonderful.
Right.
And then that nextdoor.com, finding people within your local area, whether it be for like snow shoveling, like my friend Kath did. And it's amazing, all these different places. Another thing, too, is like don't put off your local hospitals. The Newton Memorial Hospital, go to their website, www.atlantichealth.org, and you can find out about their wellness events that they have. These are free.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, on the 10th at 7 p.m., they have nutrition and healthy lifestyle for cancer prevention. 3/12, they have especially for siblings. So, issues with your brothers and sisters. At 3:13, the ABCs of going home with baby. This is like all this preparation to ease you into situations. It's great. 3:13 at 10 a.m., a day to remember. A conference for those living with memory loss. Here we go. So it's amazing. 3:15, strengthening activities for bone health. So there are places that you can get all this information that is research-based already by experts. You don't have to go crazy, and they're going to help you, give you the info, and they probably even give you directions for it. Another thing we should be thinking about, we're approaching spring most of the time, but and I've mentioned them before, the Sussex County Municipal Authority of Utilities, and that's over in Lafayette on Route 94. They are having a paper shred event on 3/18. And I always thought, you shred the papers, you go there, you put the cans, boxes, but the materials they recycled are broken down according to class. Class A is traditional, and that would be fibers and containers, newspapers, recyclable boxes, and containers of glass and metal that are recyclable. They all are not recyclable. You have to look for the little symbol. And they will even maybe tell you the particular one that they fall under, because there was one town, I think it's Chester, that had containers, like different receptacles for class this one, that class of plastics, and I never even knew that existed. So that was interesting. But class A is the fiber and containers. Class B is non-traditional. Tires, metal, wood, textiles, rigid plastic, and packing styrofoam. Class C is vegetable waste, vegetative waste. That means leaves, stumps, brush, and grass clippings.
Okay.
And Class D is car batteries, waste oil, antifreeze, and e-waste. And most of us know a lot of the Class D as hazardous waste, which is usually done twice a year. E-waste would be things related to, music or your computers or all these different pieces that become garbage in your house or put in the basement or in a box, and people don't know what to do with them. So that's a matter of getting involved with them. And they, Sussex County Municipal Utilities Authority has a calendar on their page, or you can even call them, which is like 973-579-6998, and find out all the different things they have going on and the dates and how much they'll take, the charges. It's really interesting, all the things they have. And there you go. You can get rid of and start organizing and doing your spring cleaning, not only in your closet, but inside and outside your home. That's a really interesting thing.
And if you also saving a lot of money and make use of your local library. Libraries are much more than books these days. Libraries,
yes, they are.
DVDs, and also, like, I'm the president of the Friends of the Crestia Library. We sell books there, we have book fairs, or we used to before the pandemic, you can pretty much take out just about anything you like, and if they don't have it in your local library, they can get it throughout the system, because it will most probably be somewhere in the system for you. Again, bestsellers, books that just came out, you could save a ton of money. Libraries also have events and free workshops and things like that you can get involved in, that your kids can get involved in. So there's a lot of things out there that are there and happening all the time if you just become aware of them. And it doesn't take that long to try them and then to add them to enrich your life.
Most definitely. And then the last 10 minutes I'd like to spend talking about, the generosity of the American people.
Sure.
Because they are, that volunteerism. In Sparta, a local food pantry is becoming a collection site for the Ukraine aid. And you can give them, because most places are looking for money to transfer to get the specific things they need. But this food pantry will take pop-top foods. That would be things that you don't have to cook. Medical equipment. And they will take donations, monetary ones. Andre's Lakeside Dining is going to hold a fundraiser to benefit World Central Kitchen and Best Friends. And the Sparta Community Food Pantry is teaming up with St. Kateri Church in Sparta to collect all these different things to send. And it's all being done through people who are from the Ukraine, who are here now. And the family is working with the center in Whippany to ship out supplies each week. And I think that's amazing. Pop-top items would be things like pop-top fruit and cans, pop-top soups like Chunky and Progresso that do not need to be mixed with water. That's important. Pastas like ravioli or macaroni and cheese and pop-top tuna. They do not want boxes of cereal or crackers because these people need single-serve items rather than bulk. and small packages that can be distributed widely. So they don't even care about items that contain a lot of sugar because they said at this point in time they are going to need the sugar for energy.
Right.
What kind of medical equipment? Crutches, walkers, items like that that are around your house that you do not need. They will be looking in the future to include things like healthier foods, clothing, and blankets. They're also looking for plastic utensils. All right, so it's not clothing yet. They're going to do this in waves, and it's definitely for the Ukraine. Also, you have to be careful with your donations. Everybody's heart is really hurting to watch all this. You know, and you have to think about where you're going. In a moment, dealing with it emotionally, you want to give, but you have to watch out for scams.
Right.
www.today.com has a whole article about how to donate to the Ukraine and avoiding fundraising scams. They have 11 verified sites that you can donate to, and there is Raise 'Em for Ukraine, which is an organization within the Ukraine that has been working since 2014. Because let's face it, they've been war-torn for how long with Russia? Global Empowerment Mission, and here comes that World Central Kitchen again, really big one because it's related to foods. AmeriCares, United Way Worldwide, USA for UNHCR, which is an organization for refugees that need to find a place to live again, Global Giving Ukrainian Crisis Relief Fund. There are quite a few. You can go to www.mercychefs.com. That's basically food. UNICEF, USA.org, which will assist children. www.help.rescue.org/Ukraine. That is refugee resettlement and health and safety factors. And something called www.marketplace.org. You know, it's very hard to watch this. And how many days has this been now? I don't see an end in sight. It just makes everybody that I know that was involved, that's still around, involved with World War II, Europeans, people that had heard stories, my friend Steph, with European parents and the hell in Lithuania that broke out, and horrific stories. They're terrified because they have lived through this. And they can see the groundwork being laid again. That it was Chechnya, it was Syria, that they took over and used, you know, bombs there and everything. And now it's the Ukraine. Who will be next? Who will be next? And a great way to end, and I promised a friend of mine I would mention this because
okay.
We talked about this the other day in relation to education in America. And that is the fact that we as Americans do not know world history at all. The events that, you know, I remember history was one of my least favorite subjects. Why? Because every year it was the same thing over and over and over again. What did we study? We studied wars.
Yes.
Studied about coming over and establishing ourselves in America, you know, making America, but we focused on the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Indian Wars, the Mexican War, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and I would hope, because when I was in school, this did not happen yet, Vietnam, the Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan, and the Iraqi War. It's pretty sad because it was the same thing over and over, and after a while it was like, oh, right already. What about the different factors? And you see now a big problem in this country where different states are trying to erase facts that happened. We don't want to talk about slavery. We don't want to talk about the Holocaust. These are things that are happening, even related to the war. They skimmed over it and basically taught us, when I was in high school, taught us about how we got into it. We didn't
right.
know how it escalated and how long it was going on in Europe, and the fake truths that were set down, like being set down now in the Ukraine, where soldiers were put in costumes, you know, well, uniforms, not costumes, and killed, and they were, and it was said that the Poles were attacking by the border, therefore Germany could enter in. I saw some unbelievable educational films on PBS that I was totally unaware. No one ever told me this, and to see it visually was frightening, but how it escalated. And not just from the point of how we entered the war, but how Europe, one country at a time, trying to resolve issues and maybe hoping it'll go away. Scandinavia, you know, looking to Sweden, looking the other way and, you know, being nice to Hitler because they just wanted him to go away and not bother them. What happens, you know, in Norway, where the prince and the princess came here and begged FDR for safe passage and to help, not to get into the war per se, you know, fighting ourselves, but to give them aid. And you see it replaying now. And
right.
even not just this, we have to become more educated why this is happening, how long this has been happening, and look at the Baltic countries that are surrounding there and learn about the history so we can better prepare ourselves for what's to come. Yes, I understand that Europe is shaking in their pants because they're that close in proximity. Yes, I understand that not getting the fuel when they are that dependent on the fuel and we are not. I mean, England was paying $5, I don't know for how long, for a liter of gas because they are dependent upon other countries. And it's the way it is. We are a huge country. Not like, you know, one small country living right next to each other. All those countries are like our states in proximity. Even ancient history, we never learned except for one year, and I found that to be the most exciting year, learning how civilization came to be and all these different aspects that have a bearing on what's going on in the world today. The world today, what's going on there, what's going on in the Middle East. You go way, way back to ancient history because that's where the roots and the origins, that's where they are.
That is where they are.
Right. I rest my case. Education and history has to be changed in this country. History needs to be expanded, not a little aspect to learn about what our country did in wars.
And I agree with you because we're supposed to learn and grow through our mistakes, through our past. And if you don't teach the past, you're just bound to repeat the mistakes that were made in the past.
Exactly. And let's see if I could find this here because I had something from an organization. I hope I could find it because I had so much here about education. And it was the NAEP, the National Assessment of Education Progress. 18% of eighth graders were proficient in U.S. history. Well, they're probably bored listening to the same thing every year. This one particular man is the great way to end. Jason Steinhauer, he's the public historian at John W. Kluge Center at the Library of Congress. So you know this man's a researcher. He said, we need to get beyond certain historical facts. We need to get into the value of history and the process that it shows what happened more than the outcome, because process is what brings forth the outcome. And he talked about the merit of historical inquiry and analyzation, about becoming one who is an advanced thinker, one who questions why or looks at different aspects, not just memorizing facts for a test. looking at what made things happen.
And on that note, we have to close, right? Thank you so very much, Astrid. It is always a pleasure and an honor. And welcome to the Sussex Report to our community wellness programming.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Hercules. And thank you for putting forth foundations and connections between all of your different programs, because, you know, that's what it is, connections with everyone.
And thank you for being a very big part of that. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, health and happiness to all. Good night. And thanks again, Astrid.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks to all who listened.